My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. After a big storm. Storm rolled through here last night. Tornado. Damn near took the whole assistant coaching staff up out of here over at Memphis. Trying to figure out what's left. Is there anything left? Was there anyone saved? Or was it just a clean sweep? My goodness, did we have some news. We got plenty to talk to today. We're going to be asking the Godfather some questions. Looked like the Godfather came out and even spoke by statement. So we'll get to that. Of course, let's be real. That's the talk of the day. I mean, it would take a lot to trump, you know, big week one of NFL football around here. Y'all know how excited John and I get about the NFL, and we're just a day away from that. But I would tell you that this story has done that. It's put the NFL on the back burner. That's hard to do. We're going to address it certainly with some guests today, maybe some guests in the future, or maybe we won't. Again, so much still to be questioned, so much still to be answered. We'll try to do that today over the next 3 hours. I can't wait.
Yeah, some of us were sleeping. Some of us, clocked out a little early last night. We were tucked in. This is definitely like a while you were sleeping.
Or was I?
Or was he? Because Jason definitely did stop responding to texts at about 10:47 p.m. Central Standard Time.
I saw him all this morning.
But he is now alleging that maybe he was not asleep. He was playing possum. Mm-hmm. That maybe he was working the phones. Because I do think Jason has been used.
I'd already worked the phone.
As a tool in this story, which we will touch on here. Mm-hmm. Masterfully, might I add, in just a little bit. Lots of change, lots of questions, and lots of shake up at Memphis this morning and last night. So we'll touch on that all day long today. I mean, it's going to be what we discuss for the majority of the show. That's just the reality. I was telling somebody that I have not quite looked forward to a show like this in a while. Mm-hmm. So there's just a lot to get to on the show today. Hitman Hoops is going to join us around 11:25. And that was booked before Rick Stansbury was let go. So obviously, even more happened after that booking. So we will get into all of that with Hitman Hoops at 11:25 or so, and then at 1 or so, Norton Heard IV is going to join us from Team Thad. He wants to come in a little early today.
So everybody wants to clock in today, don't they?
Yes.
Everybody wants to work today. Everybody's
amazing.
Excited. They want to come to work early.
You know, we do this every day, 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year. You know, and now everybody wants to show up.
This one's got everybody pumped up.
It's amazing. For what? I'm just trying to figure out, why is everybody so excited?
I'm trying to see.
I guess we could just sort of go over, in case you have no idea, somehow, and you're waking up out of a coma. Penny Hardaway announced some major changes to his coaching staff this morning. That includes Rick Stansbury, who has been his right-hand man, the coach who filled in for him while he was suspended the first three games of last season and oversaw the comeback win on the road at Missouri. It includes Faraji Phillips, who was in a support role. It includes Jamie Rosser, who was in a support role. And it includes Demetrius Dyson, who was in a support role. So I want to read from you the statement from Penny Hardaway this morning. Quote, I want to thank Rick, Faraji, Jamie, and Demetrius for their service to the University of Memphis and our basketball program. These are good coaches that I've worked with closely over the past few seasons, but I made the difficult decision to go in a new direction with our staff. The timing is not ideal, but I want to give this team the best opportunity to reach our goals of winning the American Conference and advancing in the NCAA tournament. With the season rapidly approaching, we are going to move quickly to complete the staff. Obviously, what is interesting is the name that was not mentioned in that statement. The initial report was that Jermaine Johnson had been let go as part of this sweeping wave of coaching changes. You then get a call that Jermaine would like to appear on this radio show on Friday. And that is booked and that is scheduled as of now. And we get the statement on Wednesday morning. And it does not include Jermaine Johnson as part of the changes. So,
And apparently, while I was, as you were talking about, while I was sleep last night, I'd been tucked away by Jermaine. You said that Leon late last night was one of the ones that said first that Jermaine's saying.
So it wasn't
just the first we saw of it when we got released from Memphis today that Jermaine is going to stay.
Correct.
And so it was kind of happening last night a little bit.
It was.
And Rick Stansberry was out of here too. Didn't that start to Didn't that start to trickle out last night
it
again
did.
Before it's formally addressed by Memphis?
Okay.
While I was sleep.
Yes.
Okay. And
so,
I did tuck in early.
Yeah, you did, and you missed it. I mean, and that's
did I miss it?
You
or
missed
did I,
it.
Did I know?
Kind of the
way things might be headed and going down.
Well, we did know about the reported rift between Rick and Penny.
Hitman Hoops last week.
And that had not necessarily been, I think, squashed with any 100%.
Right.
You know, I don't think we knew exactly that he was back and that, you know, things were kumbaya again.
Right. But you and I had talked after the call before I went to sleep, and I told you along some of the along
that is
the
correct.
Lines.
That is correct. Yes. That is
of what?
That, yes.
Remember?
That was starting to leak.
And that
Dan
made,
was starting
that
to
made
break.
Me sleepy.
It did make you sleepy.
That made me sleepy. And y'all wanted to keep talking.
Well, yeah, there was.
But we didn't need to.
Yeah, well, I mean, some of us had work to do. Some of us need to get our beauty sleep. Some of us have work to do.
Well, you know,
It felt like the prime, you know, Tubby Smith coaching, firing, hiring. It felt like that, you know, that time. It's been a while since it's been that buzz.
No, I'll be honest with you. And I'll just hit it this way. I would be surprised if Jermaine Johnson now, it appears clearly, still in the fold at Memphis, does the interview on Friday. Because I'm not, listen, it wasn't just Hitman Hoops that had the report out that Jermaine's out, along with Jamie Rosser and along with Faraji. Everybody, all the beat writers went out and confirmed that afterwards, right? And those names were on there, Jermaine Johnson. So are we telling ourselves that all that info was wrong? Not just Hitman Hoops' initial report, but everything that the beat writers confirmed afterwards, that Jermaine actually was a name that was wrong on that list? See, I don't believe that. I believe that info was there and that things did change.
Mm-hmm.
That Jermaine Johnson and the possibility of him going public on Friday, or Jermaine Johnson that's outside the program, possibly changed things. And yes, is one of the reasons perhaps. I mean, I don't think you can tie it together and say 100% hit it with the hammer, with the gavel, and say this is done. But clearly, it looks like some things changed after it's announced that Jermaine may go public. And so if that's the case, good for Jermaine. Jermaine Johnson outlasts Rick Stansberry in this case, it appears. I mean, that's pretty crazy. What I would tell you is that, you know, I would tell you it's emblematic, I would say, of a program that right now doesn't have any continuity whatsoever.
Yeah.
That if you've one day you've said one of these guys is out and the next day he's back in.
Oh yeah.
And it's based on what might, you know, come out.
Yep.
Well, that's not a sign of stability to me. I hope Jermaine does come on Friday. My guess, and this has been his MO, and y'all know we go back with Jermaine back. And that, you know, the relationship that Jermaine has with the show, but particularly me and him, we go back to Snowden days. But typically the MO has been, when Jermaine's outside the program, he talks to us. We do interviews. He comes on the show. Once he's back in the program as assistant, consultant, whatever you want to make him,
right?
They shut that down.
Yep.
He doesn't talk.
Yep.
And so my guess is, if we're talking about Jermaine Johnson being back in the program, that yes, that on Friday, that interview won't happen unless, you know, they've talked about it and they said, you know what? Hey, everything's on board. You're going to be this assistant or you're going to be this support staff person, and you're free to go on and talk about it. My guess would be now that he's back in,
right,
that we won't see Jermaine on Friday.
Oh, no, it was brilliantly done by Jermaine. I do think Jermaine is a canary in the coal mine, so to speak, because Jermaine being on staff answers a very critical question about these developments. I think the biggest question you were hearing, I mean, I know this, the biggest question we were hearing, and I'm sure the people listening want to know, who did this? Who is making these decisions? Is it Penny? Is it above Penny? Is it Tim Duncan? Is it
right? Because you do have a new AD.
What I would tell you is that Jermaine's presence, still being on the staff, answers that question once and for all, which is that all of these choices were Penny's call.
Mm-hmm.
All of these choices.
I think I would lean that way with you.
Were Penny Hardaway. I actually was told that in a call this morning, but I'm also just going to use common sense. That if a new administration was coming in and saying we're wiping everybody clean, right? Why does one person stay? Why is he the only? And again, the answer is that Penny made the decision to fire Rick Stansberry. Penny made the decision to fire Jamie Rosser. Penny made the decision to fire Faraji and Demetrius. And he made the decision to keep Jermaine. Now, why? And why now? And I think that's the part that is less obvious to a lot. Because what is it about September the 2nd or 4th or whatever the day this is that's different than the way you felt on March 23rd? For example.
Well, what could be different is whatever tension has been built up. I mean, we just had the guy who reported on last week. We'll have him on again at 11:25.
Right.
That could have changed.
Yep.
And let's be... I think this is good to go here. It's important to...
Yeah.
I mean, and it was just reported. We just had the guy on last week. We'll have him on again at 11:25. That's what's potentially changed. Remember, they had Rick come out and say, I'm back.
Yes, sort of.
Answer some of this speculation about... Would he be back for another year? You know, most of Penny's assistants in those roles, especially the former head coaches, they leave. And so they address that. Well, what could have changed is ideas change. Plans for what should happen with the team change. Tension can happen. And perhaps that, again, I mean, you would think that that's the way you've got to go here, is that you had a boiling up, mm-hmm. and it goes back to what you said. This isn't the administration saying,
yep.
oh, we got to move on from Slick Rick.
Because Ed Scott can't come in here on his third day on the job and tell a Memphis basketball legend who to hire and fire.
I don't think Laird Veach ever did it. Felt like he could either.
He couldn't do it. And guess what? Tim Duncan ain't going to do that. Ed Scott ain't. How could Ed Scott begin to know who Penny should hire and fire? He got here 3 days ago, relatively speaking.
Yeah.
So let's just use common sense here.
But now I'll tell you, Ed Scott's got to hold him to a different level of accountability than what he's been held to. So you can't just come in here saying, I don't know nothing. I don't know nothing, Penny.
You can't
here,
do
you
that.
You just run it all.
I'm just saying, you can't mandate firing.
I hear what you're saying.
You know,
yes.
But yes.
I'm leaning your way on these are Penny's decisions.
Yes.
I think, as you point out, the Jermaine thing sort of shows us that.
Yes. But I think with Rick's particularly
back to
the tension.
What's changed?
Yes.
Well, many things could have between the two of them. And if we're sticking with this is Penny's call.
Exactly.
Well, then this looks like, you know, two men who had different ideas on the way things should
go. Because believe me, we have a history of this. We've lived it before.
Exactly.
We've lived it.
That's not different from anything we've heard in terms of Penny's workings with those, you know, with those former head coaches with assistants.
Yes.
And we've had a constant turnover there. I'm not going to say turnstile, but it has sort of.
I mean, that's what it is. That's what it's always been.
But I've always pushed back on you. How many of these former head coaches was he going to keep for 5 to 6 years? Most of these guys were going to be on 1 to 2 year cycles. And we said, hell, as long as you can keep Rick Stansberry, the longer you can, the better.
Right.
Because he's a guy who's been a head coach, probably going to be again.
Yeah.
And he was helping so much with NIL or everything else. My only point on that is you weren't going to keep them 5 or 6 years anyway.
No, I mean, that's true. I mean, and it's not like he left for a worse job. He went to Texas, right?
100%.
And Larry Brown was 80-something years old.
There's been a lot of dead weight on that thing, too. You and I both know.
I'm willing to give Penny passes on certain guys, but the fact that you could not and would not figure out a way to make it work for the next 6 months with Rick is an indictment of your ability to be working.
I'm not going to sit up here and tell you it's not concerning to me.
When
you hear how many good things Rick was doing behind the scenes, and we realized, too, that and we said it after the reports, that all coaches have some tension. Because hopefully you don't have just a bunch of yes men on your staff, and you have some guys pushing back on some of your ideas and maybe challenging you. But that's college basketball.
No question about it.
And that if it's built to that point that you don't think it's worth it, wow. Like, that must be the kind of tension that could rip apart, you know, threatens to really do some damage to you. Because, again, he was helping you in so many areas, it appeared, both publicly and behind the scenes, what we'd heard publicly and behind the scenes. And so it must have really been a serious rift if this is a deal where, again, Penny is making the call, I'm better off moving on without Rick.
Exactly.
Because Rick brought a lot to the table from everything we knew beforehand.
Exactly right. And, I mean, I wrote about this in May when Andy Borman left, that if you look around, like you guys can say what you want about, and this is just time for the real talk. You can diminish Faraji's ability as a coach. You can diminish Jamie Rosser's value to the staff. You can diminish whoever you want to diminish. And we've done that. We did that with Borman. We did that with Topper. We've gone through and through and through. All roads lead back to the man who hired these coaches, period. He hired the coaches that he ultimately decided were not of value, were not worthwhile. Why were they hired in the first place? And this is just, quite simply and to the point, not the way a successful basketball program operates. It's just, it's absurd. It is just, it's not normal. The amount of turnover, Shearly, the experiments with, you know, Rasheed Wallace, because he wouldn't get the vaccine or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
I mean, we have, list after list and examples. Every successful program has at least one dude who they've been able to, that coach has been able to identify one dude, maybe two, that have been in the program for 3, 4, 5 years. UConn, Purdue. I mean, we can go down the list of successful teams. Right. We did that, right?
It'd be nice that he had a right hand like that.
And now not only does he not have a right hand, he has no hands.
Well, I would say it's a little bit different than, not saying I disagree with you, but I want to make sure we've got the facts clear. You've got a staff set to come in.
Well, that he does.
It's a little bit different than other programs. And you talk about, you know, comparing Memphis, it's kind of like he said, it's always been abnormal. His whole time here, this thing's been abnormal. But to have a Mike Davis and a Nolan Smith apparently ready to go right in, and then whether it's Andre Turner or Jermaine Johnson as the third assistant, I mean, you've got the staff right there. Literally ready to fall right in.
Yeah.
And so it's not a deal where you're set behind.
Yeah.
As Penny pointed out in the statement.
I mean, that's true. That's why he did it.
As he pointed out in the statement, it's not ideal timing at all.
Right.
But you literally have a staff right behind these guys.
Yes.
One of them that's been to a Final Four, okay? I mean, in Mike Davis, I mean, that's, you know, and you can sell the same thing that you were. Well, I can't sit up here and tell you he's going to bring everything that Stansberry just did, but you can absolutely sell as a former head coach, 100%. Same thing you've had.
Yes.
And Penny's got that already in place replace them.
But how?
I'm not arguing healthy.
It's right.
Because
you can't argue that.
But what you can't argue either is, he's going to be in a position where he's so far behind, he's doing it.
No, he's got guys ready to move in.
And it's been a constant turnstile. So, frankly, this is a normal abnormal for Memphis.
It is,
unfortunately, it's been the case under him the entire time.
Yeah.
It'd be great if he just had one guy this entire time. But what were the odds that that was going to happen?
I mean,
whether it was Mike, whether it was Frank Haith, whether whoever, take your favorite one, Rick Stansberry, the idea that you're going to have him a prolonged amount of time. But we're talking about, you know, clearing out more than just Rick. You're talking about 3-4 guys here 3 weeks before the season.
Yeah.
That is odd.
And I think that's the part of it
that's
where you have to, we're now talking about the health of this program. How are you ever going to be able to convince a good up-and-coming coach who has a job to work here? They will never do it. They will never do it. It's just not happening. Any promising coach that has options will never work at Memphis under Penny Hardaway because they see the way he treats his staff. I mean, you guys can, you know, argue about whether they should have been here or whether they should have been here. We're a month and a half away from the damn season.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the things that you hear constantly is that people don't know where they stand. They don't know, you know, and it's just like, you know, how does this program really improve? It's like you want to insulate it with quality staff. And to me, yeah, like maybe Nolan is great. Maybe Mike Davis will be valuable as a former head of coach, you know. But these guys are not going to be here forever. I mean, Nolan is out of here first chance he gets.
Right.
We know that for a fact. So are you going to be able to attract good, young, up-and-coming candidates to come work here under Penny? What about players? You know, who's going to be doing the NIL? I think the answer is very much up in the air. And I just think that's part of the upshot. Now, I don't know if the Godfather is around. I don't know if he is in the building today, but
he was working yesterday. We know that.
I mean, you know, we did that. We came up with the Godfather 3 years ago. I mean, this is something that's maybe two.
No, I was going to say
before
he sound a little longer.
Before he really, even became that, we kind of foresaw that for him. I don't remember who it was. He did something to somebody that spurred it. But he has become like the final form Godfather now. This is the ultimate sleeping with the fishies move that he has done for his staff.
Well, I mean, he absolutely has.
And so, you know, listen, for next season, does it make an impact? No. As we talked about, this staff is actually, for a patchwork staff.
Mike just been sitting there with his leg crossed, waiting on all the smoke to clear, and waiting on him to say, when y'all going to move me to
And we've been negotiating
coach?
With Nolan since World War II.
Exactly.
So, you know, eventually now maybe that will get done. So, I mean, again, he made these moves knowing those things.
It's weird because he does the same thing with players. You, old John will start to get worried about the roster and everything else, and
that's
Benny
right.
will make a pretty good roster
no doubt.
To the point that he calms you down. It's weird. He's doing the same thing with his staff.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Like you talked about, he's made this staff appear out of nowhere, calm you back down.
Now, I'm not
Mike
calm.
Got Nolan.
I'm not calm.
No, you're not, because you're like, what are you going to do? How are you going to keep assistance? Dude, it's college basketball. Like, I'm with you. The most successful programs, there seem to be, you know, a guy and a right-hand guy, and we get it. And that's the way that it typically
right.
works, but... You can't tell me that you can't get this done the way he's doing it. You're in a different world now where those relationships with those players and what assistants brings not necessarily the same. And I think where it hurts you the most is development, like you said.
Right.
You know, coach, players constantly knowing, I can go to this guy here on this staff, he's going to make me better
yep.
in this department. You've constantly got that. And you've kind of taught it, if we're going to compare the two, we've said that about some Penny teams, not having those roles carved out, defined in the way that you necessarily need has seemed to be an issue that's led to some chemistry issue. Maybe that, you know, with the assistant staff, it's what you need more of too. It's like guys knowing what they're going to be on a year-to-year basis, at least those that you can keep.
Yes.
But I would argue that you're, you know, in college basketball these days, and especially for a Penny Hardaway, that staff ain't going to be, you know, three guys for 10 years.
No, it can't be that.
The days are over.
I mean, Josh once upon a time hired Aki Collins. He once upon a time hired Damon Stoudamire. He once upon a time hired, like, up-and-coming stud coaches in the game who were known as great recruiters and this, that, and the other. They had reasons for leaving their spots.
Yeah.
But
the one Josh needed more was the X's and O's former head coach.
I'm just saying.
Then
he
needed those two.
Like, can you get
That's
guys
the one
like
he
that?
Was missing.
Can you get guys like that? I just feel like, you know, your reputation now is just, it's in the gutter.
On young coaches, and, you know, you're trying to, but I guess with a Nolan Smith, all that's going to matter in the end is the money.
Well, yeah, but, I mean,
he's coming off of a bad deal.
You
but
get
he
guys
was, he was once considered, I mean, with a guy worked for Duke, and now we're saying he's done because of a couple of bad years and some rumors at Louisville.
Well,
he's not the up-and-comer he used to be.
I'm just saying he doesn't have a job.
Track.
That's all I'm saying. I mean,
he does now. I guarantee you he does.
He does now. I'm just saying he's not leaving, a gig for the University of Memphis, right? That's all I'm saying. I mean, like, if you were fun employed, you'd be an assistant at Memphis next year too, bro. You know, you'd go. You might as well. I just feel like, you know, again...
The caliber of your assistants doesn't matter nearly as much as it used to. He's had, up until this point, a Larry Brown, a Rick Stansbury, or whatever else, and it feels like every time one of them leaves, we want to panic for a minute. All he does is end up replacing them, and if we want to say that's the difference between, you know, him and making that Sweet 16 run 2 years ago when you got the bad call, or him and last year and the thing falling apart, if that's the difference, that coach, then okay, well, it needs to be better. But I tell you, some of it's bad breaks. Some of it's poor decisions, and a lot of it's a lack of continuity. I mean, there's no question about it, whether it's, I would say more so with players than it is this coaching staff. But I'm not going to sit up here and spin it and tell you this is a good look right before the season.
Yeah, I think.
But, dude, he's got the reinforcement coaches. But he's got a staff of 15 behind him.
Yeah.
He just pushes them up.
I think it's not
Y'all
about
calm
that.
Calm down. It'll still be a tournament season, just like four or five experts in your poll thought.
It's not about the names or the people themselves, right? I mean, I think that would be an over.
And he's never going to be like other programs. He's never going to be like Kansas. He's never going to be like who's my guy that's been with Bill Self, forever. I guess he's gone now.
Norm Roberts, was that his name?
Yeah.
I don't know if he's still there, but, I mean, you go on the list.
Who's Rick Barnes got?
He's got a guy. that's been there for 3 or 4 years.
We know UConn's guys, the offensive guy. Hurley's guy's
Purdue's
the offensive
got,
guy.
Purdue's got Brantley, who's been there for 11 years.
And we just said before today that it was, you know, Stansberry and him were doing a pretty good job of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I don't know if we have the Godfather. Do we happen to have the Godfather by chance? Because I can almost imagine, in a sense, how this went. Mm-hmm. I can almost imagine, in a sense.
Well, I was asleep.
You get the Zoom meeting, right? You get the Zoom meeting alert. All staff meeting. Everybody.
Oh, no.
Everybody. Sit down. Rick, you too. Now, I know we've had some times together. We've had some highs and we've had some lows. But it's occurred to me, looking at you bozo, that maybe you guys have forgotten something. You've forgotten something that is very, very, very important to me and to my program. And as the Godfather, I feel it is my obligation and my duty to remind you in a very, very blunt way. Rick, Jamie, Demetrius, and most of all, Faraji.
He's a good man.
Don't you ever forget, this is my block. This is my block. Memphis basketball is the Godfather's domain. You are but a guest here. And as of right now, your stay with Memphis basketball is over. Finito. Sayonara, Stansberry. If I ever hear you get another credit for an NIL dollar, I'm going to lose my mind. It's all me. It's always been me. 1 cent, Anthony Penny Hardaway. Jermaine! You thought I was going to get rid of Jermaine? Jermaine? Jermaine has been taking out my garbage for 5 years. And you guys thought I was going to get rid of the garbage man? Get him out of my sight! I don't ever want to see him again! So what an event. What a night. The Godfather's busiest act yet.
Unbelievable.
We would say he reminds everybody that in case they have forgotten, Memphis basketball is his domain. It is his block. We'll come back. Hitman Hoop's going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him, see his what his thoughts are on all of this. What is the reason for now? Stick around. Jason and John, ESPN FM, ESPN.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
back to the Jason and John Show, live from the Leaders Credit Union Studios. Let Leaders Credit Union champion your financial story at leaderscu.com/ESPN. 92.9 FM, ESPN.
He is Hitman Hoops, men's basketball analyst. On Twitter, Hitman Hoops. It has been quite the 24 hours in Memphis basketball. Or Hitman, when we scheduled the interview, we thought there would be at least one assistant returning. And since then, now there are no assistant coaches returning, with the news that Rick Stansberry is expected to be out as well. Welcome to the show. What have you made of the last 24 hours for Memphis basketball?
I think it's chaos right now. I kind of alluded to that on Twitter last week. It's chaos right now. It's going to be chaos over the next 2 weeks, as well as they attempt to find, you know, replacements on the staff. It's what, September, your first exhibition's a month and a half away. You've got the season starting in 2 months and you're looking for staff members. It's honestly, you know, it's almost an embarrassment to the city of Memphis what's going on in the program right now.
We can kind of see, because we had you on last week, and it was you, Hitman, who had reported the tension between Stansberry and Penny. And so rather than asking you how we got here with Rick and being out, right, I guess my question for you is more the other guys. And what was so curious about it, really, it was the three guys that you had named in the interview weren't helping the program whatsoever. And then, boom, first we're seeing the reports as the three of them. And I know Jermaine's staying, but essentially it was the three that you had laid out in terms of the interview. How did we get there with them? Was that a deal where, okay, we're gonna look at what we've got? You know what? Hitman's right. Like, these guys are. How did we get there with those three? Configure it with Stansberry.
Oh, well, I'll tell you that my comments last week were not a coincidence. You know, this had been in the works for, 3 to 4 weeks. So, you know, I had some people question, you know, why it would, be blatantly honest on the radio like that. Well, you know, the end was in sight. So, you know, going back to your question was, you know, what happened with those three guys and Stansberry as well. And now Demetrius is in it. You know, Jermaine survived again. I'm not sure how he keeps surviving, you know, given his history at Troy and UT Martin. Not sure on that. That's sarcastic. I am sure on what he knows and, you know, what Penny doesn't want out there. But if we go to Rick, there was a reported rift last week. And that's been looming for the last 2 weeks as well. The AD, you know, since he took office, he's placed a big emphasis on cleaning up the program. So in the eyes of the NCAA, you know, getting rid of Rick, getting rid of, Jamie Rosser, who also served a show cause from his actions at SIBO, and Faraji and Demetrius were dragged into it as well. So, it looks on the outside that Memphis is cleaning up its program, and that's going to help them, you know, given that the NCAA's findings are looming.
I think there are two big questions, maybe three now that you mentioned that. Maybe there are more than three. Maybe I don't even need to put a number on it. But I think
I was going to say, with how we ended that.
Yeah. The decision, it sounds like, I mean, I've heard from different people different things, but have you arrived at the conclusion that these decisions were facilitated and carried out by Penny by himself?
They were not. They were not. In an ideal world, going back to April, May, when Penny started negotiating with Nolan Smith again to join the staff. In an ideal world, there would be no one leaving the staff other than, you know, the guys that left on their own, Borman, Kipnis, and Garrett Kelly. Other than those guys, I mean, you would add no one and your staff would be done. That's in an ideal world. However, since, you know, the AD took office in early August, and he's right. I mean, he's right to do this, trying to clean up the program, trying to, you know, limit the findings, the potential punishments that the NCAA could impose upon Memphis, given the ongoing investigation into academic related violations, as well as multiple other violations over the past two seasons. So, I mean, he's right in doing this, and it starts at the top, and it was more so both of them. I mean, this was a process that took 3 to 4 weeks, so it wasn't just, you know, Penny or the AD woke up one day and say, you know, we need to get rid of these guys. You know, this was both Penny and the AD.
It was both.
Yes.
I mean, because Jermaine's presence here would suggest that if this was some sort of clean, sweeping, organized AD's mandating, that would not, I mean, because Jermaine still being here would suggest that Penny has made the decision.
I'll say the AD got something he wanted and Penny got something he wanted, and as to who's leaving, who's staying. That's how I put it.
And do you expect, and I think you may have this out there already, Hitman, I apologize if you do, you expect Jermaine instead of perhaps Andre in terms of the assistants now, and I'm speaking of the, you know, I know a lot of cases we're calling them all assistants. I think even Memphis refers to, you know, 5-6 guys as that. But in terms of those three roles, do you expect Jermaine to fill one of them? Would that be Andre Turner, you know, joining Nolan and Mike? How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, so you're allowed to have 5 on-court assistants.
5, right.
So I'd see, you know, Mike Davis, Nolan, once his contract gets finalized. You'd have, you know, potentially Andre Turner moving over. Jermaine Johnson, you know, that's 4 out of your 5 right there.
Got it. Yep.
We'll see what he does with the last spot.
Why now?
Why before the season?
Yeah.
Right before. Again, I mean, this was started in early August, so it's been going on for about a month. Just with the AD, the new AD coming in, you know, wanting to clean up the program, wanting to better Memphis and look out for them in terms of the NCAA violations. That's pretty much the reason why now. It's not ideal for anyone involved. If it were ideal, this stuff would have happened back in, you know, March, April, after the exit meetings, but.
I'm curious, man, because and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but last week we talked to you, and I kind of got the sense from you that, you know what, and this was, you know, again, that this is the sense I'm getting from you. Penny can get this job done. He can get it done, but he's got to listen to the right folks that are around him and have the right folks that are around him. I just have the right folks around. I just wonder if where we are now, a few days differently, and with these changes, now we know, you know, Stansberry being out. Do you feel, would you be encouraged by what you've seen? If this is a cleaning up of things, at least partially so from the administration, are you encouraged, or does the Jermaine news change that, or does the Rick news change in terms of how you feel about Penny's ability to now get the job done?
I think if, you know, going back to what I said, you know, I totally believe Penny can get this done, and, you know, he's one of the best men for the job at Memphis, but he's got to stay out of his own way. And what I mean by that is, you know, hiring assets to the program, not family members, right? Not people that you share fraternity with, right? Hiring assets to the program and, you know, coaches that'll provide value and hold others accountable. I fully believe Nolan Smith is going to be an asset for the program. You know, I believe in Mike Davis as well. I believed in Rick Stansberry. You know, he's gone now. I mean, if we go back to what Rick did, how he built this roster, I mean, he brought in every one of these guys but two. And Musa Cisse, you know, Nick Lurdane was already there.
Wow.
So, you know, it's his recruiting relationships at the end of the day that built this roster. So, again, I don't think that's, you know, an ideal move, especially for the season about to be starting. I mean, you know, let's say, you know, worst case scenario, player doesn't get their money for the month. What relationship do you have to lean on to, you know, kind of settle those ends? So I think that I am encouraged, but I'm also not fully encouraged. If that makes sense.
Yeah. So like I'm having I think who did what is so important in the framing of the story, and I can't ignore what I heard this morning, which is in direct conflict with what you have heard, which is that it was not an administrative decision. And this is someone who has been told that definitively by the administration. And I guess the part I have a hard time with is, like, Penny didn't ever listen to anything Laird Veach said. They had no relationship, right? It's not like Penny has ever, you know, Penny's never dealt with the athletic director. Penny has always dealt with the president at Memphis for the most part. So I guess my question to you would be, why all of a sudden now would he be acquiescing to an athletic director who showed up here and started work last Tuesday?
Yeah, and let's be honest. If it were Penny doing this, then this would have happened in, you know, March and April.
That would have made more sense, for sure.
And I don't think it would have happened because, you know, Penny, he's extremely loyal to his guys. And, you know, each one of those guys, Dyson, Faraji, Rosser, Jermaine, I mean, those are his guys. So, you know, if it were fully Penny, you know, he wouldn't have gotten rid of them. I do think that AD had some influence in the decision. I do know that AD had some influence in the decision. I mean, you know, he's put an emphasis on cleaning up the program, and I'm fully on board with that.
Right.
So, and at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter, you know, who did what or who orchestrated what. You know, all that matters is, you know, whether the program's cleaned up and, you know, starts to succeed. All right. I think we're on the right path.
We're talking to Hitman Hoops, Memphis basketball analyst on Twitter at Hitman Hoops. What are from you know, because I've heard from people I haven't heard from in 10 years. You know, it's kind of crazy how this works. People that you talk to around basketball, what are they saying about the situation in Memphis? What's the opinion outside?
I'll tell you this, you know, a lot of the coaches, you know, in the industry, they don't have a favorable opinion on Penny. So I got to preface by saying that. So they're definitely, the perceptions that I've heard of the situation are definitely influenced by that. But you know, it's been extremely negative. I've had some coaches tell me it's a clown show, what's going on. They're shocked. They have no idea what's going on. Why Rick? Why now? And the same questions that, you know, most fans have and that you guys have. They're dumbfounded. A lot of the coaches that I've talked to think that the NCAA is going to hammer Memphis, and, you know, this is their way of cleaning up the program to look better in terms of the eyes of the NCAA, who's definitely watching what's going on now.
Yeah. So I guess I guess we probably can't go quite there yet. I don't want to. Yeah. But interesting. Yeah. In terms of the new staff that it should be, it's Nolan we expect, Mike Davis we expect, and Jermaine we expect. I mean,
you mentioned Andre as well as one of those five.
Yeah, I mean, you could do worse in a pinch, honestly. I mean, I'm sure that's what gave Penny and the administration the, you know, the feeling that they could do this in September, that they knew they sort of had that on standby.
Yeah, and I am encouraged by the staff now. I do have my concerns about Jermaine, as I noted, you know, on the last radio show. Just given his history at Troy and UT Martin, you know, he was fired from both of those places, you know. And when we talked about this before the show, you know, it is important whether he is classified as, you know, as assistant or a consultant, because, you know, if there's any evidence of him being on court teaching his defense, this and that, as a consultant, as, you know, what was reported by, I think it was Leon Taylor who put that out. He was a consultant, spoke to Penny directly. You know, if he's a consultant, he can't be on the court teaching defense at all. He's not an assistant. He's not one of the five assistants. That's a direct NCAA violation. So, you know, either, you know, Penny lied to Leon Taylor, or, you know, another NCAA violation just occurred and, you know, they admitted to it. So, you know, we were talking a little bit about that before the show, but, you know, I do have my doubts about Jermaine, but, you know, again, I've heard some good things about him. You know, he knows defense really well, so, you know, maybe they can get back to the defense, you know, that there was in 2021, 2021, 2022 seasons. So I am encouraged overall by the staff, but, you know, I do still have some concerns. So.
Yeah, you mentioned the fact that Rick Would you say he's responsible for all but two players? I would assume it's just probably too late for those guys to go anywhere else.
You couldn't use it
has to be the head coach that leaves, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I would not worry at all about players leaving. One, they can cry wolf all they want and say, you know, we're not going to play this and that. One, that only hurts their professional stock. NBA teams see that, and, you know, they're going to get a question about that in pre-draft interviews if they're, you know, even high enough to be considered, for draft stock. But and then two, if they quit, they're not going to get paid. That's just how it is. So right. And they can't leave. They're locked in. They're already enrolled in classes. They can't go anywhere. So I do think that, you know, this timing, you know, whether planned or, you know, coincidence, it is definitely extremely helpful to the program, you know, in keeping all these players here. And again, I mean, they got these players enrolled in summer classes right away. So, and that's what you're taught to do in the business. So, you know, no teams are coming there. No Rick Stansberry's can come in there and poach your team's players like what happened with PJ Carter. So,
last thing I saw, the Memphis's NIL caught a stray this morning from a person who claims he is an NIL agent. Chris Wash. He said, Memphis basketball is a mess, has been. Penny is the problem. Also, NIL money there, you're going to get a fourth of what you're told if you're lucky, whether you have an agent or not. has that been your experience, or is this Chris Wash being sour grapes and salty about one of his clients not being good here?
You know, it is important to note that he did represent Jaquan Walton. And, you know, it's pretty openly known that, you know, they had some, some beef over, you know, how much they were getting paid, when they were getting paid, this and that. But, you know, to my knowledge, you know, Jaquan Walton, you know, fully paid. Every player from last season was fully paid. So I'm not sure what he's referencing exactly. But, you know, it might stem from just him being disgruntled about, you know, his client and, you know, now his present client there as well. So,
can I ask who his present client is at Memphis?
Yeah, he helps represent PJ Carter.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, maybe he'll have a better experience. But I would say,
yeah, no. I mean, Chris is a good dude, so
yeah.
I'm sure he has, you know, maybe more information on this. You know,
yeah.
Maybe there's something behind the scenes that I don't know. But as far as I know, Jaquan Walton was fully paid. So.
Yeah, well, what I would say to Chris is that, you know, Jaquan was one-fourth the player we thought he'd be. So it's all equal. So you get one-fourth the promise, and you provided one-fourth the production. We're all good. All good. So anyway, Hitman, good stuff as always, man. Appreciate
your
time.
Hitman.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me on. Nice talking to you guys.
Yes, sir. He is Hitman Hoops. Joins us throughout the college basketball season when that does indeed arrive. So, listen, you're hearing sort of conflicting things about how much input Ed Scott did or did not have. I guess maybe that is secondary in some ways. But I was told this morning by someone who, you know, spoke to him directly.
Well, can both of you guys be right? That's what I pulled from it.
I suppose that's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Penny and the administration, which
they work together.
Said,
yeah. Yes. Hey, like I, you know, want to make
one got
changes.
A little bit of what you know the other one wanted, and they kind of compromised a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And be, you know, on Penny's side, it looks like it's Jermaine.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it's certainly possible. But anyway, yeah, it's been a crazy morning with Memphis basketball, and. You know, now it'll just be a matter of solidifying that staff and making it official and onboarding. Nolan.
Can you get all that done before the golf tournament?
I think so.
Before, what is that, 23rd?
Well, you've already been negotiating with Nolan for 7 years. So
well, now you freed up money, right?
So much money.
Now you could just.
Yeah.
You know, just even took Dyson's little stipend.
He did, man. Damn.
Did Demetrius have to catch it?
I don't really know what Demetrius did. You know, I really don't.
All that brother did was work.
Yeah. So
behind the scenes,
Demetrius
Dyson.
He actually posted, on his Instagram, the man behind the scenes, the man who invested blood, sweat, and tears daily for our city's team, the one who worked without any notoriety or appreciation until being negatively mentioned. Some ish doesn't make sense, but God got me. I don't just do this for fun. It's in me. If you know, you know.
So, man, and Demetrius Dyson is as good as they come, man.
I didn't even mention him.
There's a life behind that name, bro, you need to put some respect on.
Can we get
on.
The Godfather? Can we get the Godfather
that
back?
The Godfather needs to at least acknowledge around here.
I
want to tell you, I want to tell you, Demetrius, like Arlington or Munford or one of them. Like, he was out that way.
And then he went to UMass, right?
Yeah, I think it was UMass.
Demetrius Denzel Dyson, I think he maybe went, he bounced around a little bit.
Dude, he's like a great trainer. You know, he's doing every day, just unacknowledged over there, putting in the real work. Love you, Demetrius.
I didn't want to have to do this, Demetrius.
He seems like an innocent.
I wanted to have this individual meeting with you. Rick, Faraji, Jamie, we throw them out all at once. But you, I knew there was something. There was something special with you, young man. This gonna pain me.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.